Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today,
sports radio on the dial.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Join us. Let's talk some sports. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us, Facebook us, at rayandtaytoday. And let's have some fun, man. We got a busy, hard-hitting, quick sports show, Ray.
Yes, for sure. Let's just jump right into the breaking news of the weekend. We'll talk a little bit towards the end of the show about baseball, about Hall of Fame in football. But let's jump into it. Let's talk about what happened this weekend in golf and NASCAR.
Oh, man.
USA basketball.
Well, you said it right there. God bless Paul George. That injury was horrific. I couldn't believe ESPN did like 90 minutes straight on it without talking about any other sports Friday night. But it was definitely fascinating. It's very sad. They said they put the rod in. It's a clean break, good surgery. 12 to 18 months, Ray. I tell you, I hate to hear anybody go through this. My question is, what do the Pacers do? Can they fight still for the eighth seed? You know, you bring in C.J. Miles and Stuckey because you already lost Lance Stephenson. They still haven't improved George Hill. That means Hibbert's got to step up. They probably can't score, and they're looking at signing Marshawn Brooks. Do they just try to not make the playoffs and get a lottery pick or something? What do you think about the Pacers this season?
Well, that's the Sixers' strategy. I don't know if Larry Bird's into that. But, that brings me back. Larry Bird had a chance to play with Lenny Bias. That's a whole other story. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think you slug it out. I think you slug it out and you try to get that seventh or eighth spot in the East.
Right.
As difficult as that may be. And you hope that 12 to 18 months is really 12 months. And you hope that by training camp next year, Paul George is ready. And, you know, the only positive that might come out of this is that the team might have to tell Roy Hibbert that Deshaun Stevenson is gone, Paul George is gone.
Lance, you're always killing the guy.
Sorry, Lance
will make you dance.
Lance to make you dance straight out of Brooklyn. And David West is getting older. So, Roy, this is your team. This is, ultimately, you need to step up. You need to play like the guy who made $15 million and the guy who Portland signed to that big offer sheet, and we matched that offer sheet thinking that, you're our guy. You're the center. You're an all-star center in the East. So step up, forget about that miserable playoffs that you had.
So are they really going to play inside out and hope if they sign Marshawn Brooks that he brings his offense, C.J. Miles and Stuckey, hopefully they can score. But you know who else? Chris Copeland, Summer League champion. I think Chris Copeland, this is his opportunity to maybe start at the three and really play some good ball. So we'll see what happens. Listen, we wish Paul George well, USA, obviously those guys, they handled it well. All the players said that they're going to stick. They haven't announced the final roster yet, maybe later on today or tomorrow. But the reality is when you play any sport, you can get hurt anytime, anywhere. I do think that basketball stanchion, Ray, is a little bit too close there at that arena. They said it was like an extra foot and a half, 2 feet closer. So I would fix that. But, what else can you really do,
I think it was a freak accident, and unfortunately it happened to an all-star in an all-star exhibition. These things happen once every, 10 years. I mean, you can't shut down USA Basketball. You can't say that the NBA can't send its players because of that. Now, I feel for the owners because the owners are taking a lot of risk by insuring these contracts and getting these signing these players to these big contracts. But, they're not out there you know,
it also helps
basketball.
Their brand, though. Let's be
of
honest, it goes both ways, right?
Sure.
They make worldwide money with jersey sales, and they want the NBA to be in every country, you know, to be global like football. So they it's not like they lose totally from this, you know, from just an exhibition. You know what I mean? So I can't feel too sorry for them. But look, let's leave that alone. They're going to announce the team. Maybe DeRozan has to get on the team now. Maybe he makes it. You know, we'll see how the roster, you know, plays out. Derrick Rose is looking good. You know, him and Kyrie was crying. It was a very emotional experience. Maybe even Kyle Korver makes the team, you know, shooting and 2-3 guys. So I got to ask you this, though. It looks like what we said a couple of weeks ago on a Monday about Tiger Woods possibly being done, it might come to fruition. Let's hope, you know, he gets healthy. Shout out to Rory. The confidence is with him, Ray. He zooms past Sergio, who kind of choked again. And Rory wins the Bridgestone. And it's definitely the favorite going into the final major of the season of the PGA. I think he'll probably take it. And we're looking at a new dominance from Rory. Tiger, his agent said he's not definitely out of the PGA. We'll see. But he looks really bad, and I feel for him. What are your thoughts on Tiger, his health, and the whole golf scene?
I feel like Tiger will never be right again for a full season. So from Tiger's perspective, I don't know that he'll ever dominate again like he did. He may win tournaments here and there, but when you start to, at his age, where he hasn't even turned 40 yet, you start to have knee problems, back problems, shoulder problems, you know, all these problems, they add up and you start compensating. And Tiger is a perennial gym rat and also a guy that loves to swing and swing and swing and swing. So he practices and plays golf all the time. So that's really not conducive to being injured, because the way he gets back in the groove is just to play more golf. But his body keeps breaking down the more golf he plays. So I don't know that Tiger's done winning, but I'm pretty sure Tiger's done dominating. And it might be Rory McIlroy's turn to be the young stud on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, no, definitely. And he's looking really strong. You got to say that. And then we got to bounce around to NASCAR. Congratulations to Dale Earnhardt Jr. He sweeps the Poconos this year, but he gets his third victory, so he will definitely, you know, guarantee the spot in the chase at the end of the season. It's only him, Jimmy Johnson, and I think Kenseck that have 3 wins. So Dale Earnhardt, man, for that 9 years where he kind of disappeared, he's back, and he could be the champ this year. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think he could take down my boy Jimmy? He's looking good, and his car is running great.
Yeah, he is looking good. It's hard to ever bet against Jimmy Johnson. I did that a couple years ago, and Jimmy's Jimmy. You know what I mean?
He's amazing.
But it's good to see that Dale Earnhardt Jr., 10 years later, is back to, you know, the top of his game. He was a guy who, because of his name, the spotlight has always been on him. But frankly, for about 5 or 6 years, he was a mediocre plus driver. He just got a lot of marketing behind him. And I might talk about him later on in the show. But it looks like Jimmy Johnson has some competition later in the year.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. It's going to be fascinating. And with the new format, I'm excited to see, you know, how it goes down. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, diehard NASCAR, but I got to admit, it's looking like it's going to be fun for the home stretch. You know, I got to say, it's, you know, you like to see the great names in sports dominate and win. And I think anybody would say, you know, sometimes you like to see like a dominating team, whether it's the Yankees, the Miami Heat, you know, so you hope even for golf that Rory can, you know, start to dominate, or a bunch of guys can start to really be great, you know, and maybe Tiger comes back healthy. Same thing in, you know, in driving with Jimmy, that hopefully there's some guys that will step up and challenge him. So then, you know, it just makes the whole sport fun and great. So I was at the game yesterday, and I got to say, baseball Chase Field, they might have the third worst record. They're above the Rockies. But the Diamondbacks, the stadium was rocking, some juice to the series. Goldschmidt, unfortunately, he was hit, but, you know, he kind of check-swinged at the pitch. So there was some tension in the series, and it kind of sort of came back at McCutchen. He, you know, they won the game on a controversial play in extra innings, 3-2. Diamondbacks beat the Pirates. But, you know, with the Pirates not taking advantage of the Cardinals losing, you know, against a team that's not playing for much, I got to say the Pirates lineup, besides McCutchen and Russell Martin, they don't have any real pop. Ike Davis, who's a local kid from out here in Glendale and played at ASU, he showed up good being back at home. But I'm concerned, if you're a Pirate fan, about them making it in to this wild card. I mean, right now, some of the hottest teams in baseball, the Indians are playing good, the Tigers. I don't know. After these trades, and we saw some of these pitchers play, Ray, give me some thoughts about some of the first starts for some of these pitchers, Price and our boy in Oakland. What are you thinking right now with baseball in this final push with like 50 games to go?
I tell you what, if I'm in the American League, I'm very scared of Detroit and Oakland. It looks like they're on a collision course. I can't see in a long series, in a seven-game series where you have to face, you know, maybe your number one starter can match their number one starter, but their number two, three, and four starters are number one starters. So when you start going deep into the rotation, even if you can fix your starters and you go with three starters, your second and third starter are probably not as good as their second and third starters. So I don't know. To me, Detroit and Oakland just look like the bomb squad, and the Los Angeles Angels, who are right there behind Oakland, I mean, maybe they're in that top three, but everybody else, like I look at the American League, I mean, I look at Baltimore and I look at their record, and by record they're fine, but they just don't stack up. I mean,
they don't wow you at all, yeah.
They don't wow you at all on either side of the plate. I mean, they got a couple of good players, but I look at this Boston and, I mean, I look at this Detroit, Oakland, and even the Angels, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, these guys look pretty unbeatable in the American League. So Lester's fine. I think adding a lefty to that rotation, and then if they can get, you know, obviously they lose defense, but if they can get some offense like they did from Johnny Gomes, and then if Fultz can throw some people out like he did.
Moss and Donaldson needs to step up with his bat.
Yeah. Yeah, Moss and Donaldson in you know, in the playoffs. You know what? Good for Oakland. But it looks to me like Oakland and Detroit are the two teams on a collision course in the American League.
Hey, can the Blue Jays overtake the Orioles? I mean, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, the Blue Jays are 3.5 back. They've got the roster. Maybe the pitching's got to step up, but
because I think Baltimore's not that strong. I think Baltimore is a solid team, but I don't think they're a 62-48 team. I mean,
I don't love the
them
pitching staff. But you like Andrew Jones. But you like Jones and Machado. I mean, Machado's made some great plays in the last 2 weeks. It's just amazing at third.
They've got some studs. They do. But I don't know that their roster on the pitching side or on offense, or you know, in the field, I'm not sure that roster. I mean, if you look at it right now, if the playoffs were to start right now, you'd have Oakland with the best record, and they would have the best record, and Baltimore would have the second best record, ironically enough. So
yeah.
You'd have that one game play-in, then you'd have Oakland and the winner of that play-in, and then Baltimore and Detroit. I'm not sure that Baltimore can handle Detroit, even with home field.
No, not with that pitching staff. You're right about that. And then I guess what it would be, that play-in right now, it looks like it would be the Angels and the Mariners, right? Yeah, because KC's right there too, though. So, hey, look, it's gonna be really fun. I think the American League is. How about the Texas Rangers, Ray? 43-68. Even the Astros, who people were killing, but they're sort of rebuilding it young and the right way. I guess if you're an Astro fan, You got to be like, hey, in Texas right now, I'd rather be an Astro fan than the Rangers, because at least they're young and they're rebuilding.
This kid Springer is the real deal. Altuve can play. So they've got the future is bright. I think Texas may have peaked, right? They went to all those AL West or those ALCSs, and then they lost, obviously they lost Josh Hamilton, and then after that, they lost Nelson Cruz last year. So this is not the team that Ron Washington was bringing to the World Series.
Right, close but no cigar. And you keep knocking on the door, it's hard to stay consistent, which is why, and we'll talk about it later, you got to give the Buffalo Bills, you think about them, so much props for making it to four straight Super Bowls. I mean, in baseball, it's hard. Like what the Rangers and Tigers have done the last, what, 4 or 5 years, they've been, you know, deep in the playoffs in American League, but could not crack the door. And
that's
you wonder, are they done?
No, you're 100% right. And you can't be mad at a GM that goes for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get a chance to come back every single year. That's why, you know, in the NFL we kept saying, would you rather be the Philadelphia Eagles, who went to five straight NFC title games and then finally won one, or would you rather be the Tampa Bay Bucks, who won a championship and for the most part were an okay team other than that? So I tell you what, you have to strike while the iron's hot. So you can't take those playoff appearances for granted. You got to go and get yourself a title, put that ring on your finger, like Beyonce said.
You got to put your ring on it. I got to tell you, in the National League, I really think I don't think the Pirates have enough, and I think Milwaukee's going to probably lose it. I think in that Central, I think the Cardinals, one game back, Ray. And I think the Reds at 4.5 back just had so many injuries. I think the Cardinals are primed to win another Central title. What are your thoughts about that in the National League?
You know, those Cardinals, man, they just they're just a juggernaut. I will never, never talk badly about the Cardinals. They let Pujols go, didn't skip a beat, won another World Series. They're the organization, you know, they're the San Antonio Spurs of baseball.
Great analogy. You're right.
They just get it done, you know. They traded Alan Craig, no big deal. You know, they added Lackey. I can't bet against them, you know. And in fact, if I'm Milwaukee, I'm worried. This lead is down to one. They're tied in the loss column. Not only is Milwaukee tied with St. Louis, but they're only one up in the loss column against Pittsburgh. So Milwaukee, who's been dominating this season, can be, you know, next week can be out of the playoffs. So it's tough because I tell you what, whenever you have the St. Louis Cardinals in your division, it's tough. I mean, you got to think that they're, even though they're in second place right now, if I had to put my money on it, St. Louis looks like they could easily take over that division.
Yeah, no, it's one of those wild, wild things. So one thing that we like to do here on Ray and Tay is, you know, give you some segments. We've got a bunch of them. You can check them out on our website. We get some requests from fans and emails of, you know, we haven't done a segment in a while to do it. So it's Monday, and we got a segment that we like to do from the past weekend, Champs and Chumps. You know, we give you one each, a champ and a chump of the sports weekend. So let's hear a little station break and then come back, Ray, with Champs and Chumps of the sports weekend. Ray and Tay today.
Hola, baby. ¿Cómo estás? This is Dominican Lou. You know, and I love this sports radio. I've been listening to Wagon of Mad Dogs since like 89. Wagon Mike, SVP, and Rosulo. But, you know, I like these new guys, man, because they give me the baseball. Because, you know, I go to the Bronx, baby. I love the Yankees. NBA, NFL, the college football, college basketball. Man, you want good sports talk? You listen to Ray and Tay today. Comprende? Escuchen. Adios.
Oh,
Dominican Lou.
Dominican Lou. Oh, you got to love it, man. You got to love it, Ray. So listen, you going positive or negative? What are you starting with first? Who's your champ? Who's your chump? Which one are you doing for me?
Let me start positive. And I mentioned him before.
Okay.
And his name is Dale Earnhardt Jr. Because I said that this guy, if his name, just a little bit like in the beginning of Eli's career, I said if his name wasn't Manny, if his name wasn't Earnhardt, he wouldn't have been getting the press that he got. And that's probably true. And for a decade, he had a decent start to his career, and then the middle of his career was a huge drop-off. But he's won his third race, he's swept Poconos, and this guy is ready to make a push. So for this weekend's performance, for his dominance at Poconos, for really giving Hendrick Motorsports a huge, huge boost in terms of they've got three of the top six drivers, you got to say Dale Jr., NASCAR stud right now, he's my champ of the weekend.
Yeah, I got to say, he's great, and props to him. That's a great champ. All right, so we're going to talk about it a little bit when we end the show with NFL, but you know what? My champ of the weekend, it's a team. It's a connection. Because if you know math in Western New York, like the man said, 12 plus 83 always equals 6. Shout out to the Hall of Famers. Great speech by Andre Reed. Finally got in. He waited 9 years with Jim Kelly, his quarterback, who just Kelly tough, battling tremendous ordeal with jaw cancer. And, our prayers go out to him, and just a touching story on ESPN and all over this weekend. So to me, great speech, great feel-good story. The Bills lost the Hall of Fame game, though, to our Giants, 17-13. But the champs are Andre Reed, the Hall of Famer, with the other Hall of Famer, Jim Kelly, Ray. Heart-touching and just amazing.
Okay. All right. Now, unfortunately, Ray and Tay have to call it like it is, and sometimes we have to be negative. And we try to be, we don't take it personally. We just call it like we see it.
No beef.
So my chump of the weekend is the Chicago White Sox pitching staff. So let me paint this scenario. They were down 4-3 going into the eighth, right? No big deal. Against at home, right, at U.S. Cellular Field on the south side of Chicago. Shout out to the south side of Chicago, all of our homies.
South side?
Listening in. They're down 4-3. And they're not that bad, right? They're not going to make the playoffs, but they're 54-57 going into the game, so almost 500. They proceed in two innings to give up 14 hits and 3 walks, and they give up 23 hits for the game, and they blow up and give up 16 runs, 12 runs in the last two innings, and get blown out by the Minnesota Twins. And I'm thinking, you're at home,
wow,
you're a professional baseball team, and you give up 9 in the 8th, 3 in the 9th.
Yeah, it was like 16-3, right?
16-3. Not only did you give up 9 runs in the 8th, but in the 9th, you gave up back-to-back-to-back homers. So the pitching staff just got blown up, and basically the fans at U.S. Cellular went home with a big frown on their face. So for just getting totally annihilated at home, Chicago White Sox pitching staff, that's my chump of the weekend.
Well, my chump comes off of the reactions to the horrific and, bad injury for Paul George. But it's the Rays' favorite owner. It's for our boy, Mark Cuban, Mr. ABC and his whole stuff. This guy put out, I think, since the injury, like over 20 different blogs and tweets and emails, all this stuff. He's basically like, I told you so. And I think to me, look, this was bound to happen because, like you said earlier, it does happen and it can happen anywhere. But I think overall, the NBA, you can't have it both ways and your way all the time and your cake and eat it too. Sometimes you just have to, go with it and just be, Come right in. you know, sorry, excuse me, you got to just, you know, go with it. And I think the reality is Cuban, you know, these guys make money for you by branding all over the world. If the owner does not want to let his player play, then you say, hey, you can't play, yada, 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 whatever. So he's my chump of the week because I just think, you know, it's hard to just after it happens be like standing on your thing, I told you so. You know, like you're a 10-year-old. These things happen, whatever. Before we get to this football, real quick, basketball. Sean Marion Ray is meeting with the Cavaliers. Your boy Keith Appling got invited to the Lakers camp. Can you imagine Sean Marion and potentially Ray Allen, who's waiting to see, you know, the Kevin Love deal go down, basically, or, you know, see if his health is good. If the Cavaliers wind up with Kevin Love, Sean Marion, Ray Allen, Mike Miller, yada, 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 they're going to be amazing.
You know, they I don't like too many old guys, though. I don't want too many old
guys.
Yeah,
but no. But listen, Mike Miller, Sean Marion, and Ray Allen off your bench is like, you know, solid role players. Sean Marion can still play little D and rebound. I like that in some clutch minutes. That would be deadly. So, it's just a thought.
Well, the good thing is they also don't have to play that many minutes. They can play 15, 20 minutes.
Exactly. No, exactly. So some sad news, Ray, as we talk about the NFL. I mean, we'll salute Andy Dalton and the contract, some of the funny money, 6 years, $115 million, gets the extension. We'll talk about that in a second. Glenn Dorsey's out for the Niners for the season. Jadeveon Clowney got hurt, an injury, I don't know what it is, in camp, so he pulled out. You know, I'm sure he'll be okay, hopefully. But David Wilson, he got the news from the doctors, Ray, and his career is over with that neck injury. So prayers, love to him. He said, look, you know, don't feel sorry for him. He got to live out his dream. That's sad, Ray. That's very sad.
It really is, and it's ironic that the sport in which you need the most protection, these players don't get it. They get the money guaranteed or they get a signing bonus, but your career could be over, and that's why you have to always, almost always, if not always, side with the player on this because there is no security in football. Speaking of which, though, speaking the other side of a guy who had a super long career, Brett Favre,
yeah,
is going to be honored, and he's now saying, I guess they've mended the fences. Brett Favre's number is going to be retired this year.
As it should be. No, 2015 they're going to do it.
Next year. And he said, I'll always be a Packer. And that's the way it should be, right? He flirted a little bit with the Jets and the Vikings. But ultimately, Brett Favre's a Packer. And, you know, he had that issue with Aaron Rodgers. But Brett Favre's a Packer, always was, always will be. And it's a good thing that they're ready to retire his number.
So let's talk about the Hall of Fame. The speeches I thought were great. Also, you know, we'll talk about, you know, potential 2015 class and the seven guys that are eligible. But love the energy of Aeneas Williams. My boy Claude Humphreys, you know, spoke a little bit around the way and a little too long or whatever. But God bless him. You got to do what you got to do. Get your stuff out. Strahan was great. The stuff with John Runyon was hilarious. I loved Ray Guy. I think he's fascinating. And Derrick Brooks is just class, solid. Any favorite moments for you? Obviously, Andre Reed was my champ, him and Kelly. I thought that was great. What'd you think about?
I didn't realize Ray Guy could have been a professional athlete. I mean, Dave Winfield, basically, could have been a professional player in three sports. So I thought that was great. I thought Strahan brought his usual energy. About how he was, I like that moment where he was talking about how he pumped up everybody and everybody was, rah, and I'm Mike Strahan.
Eli.
Oh, and then he went to Eli and just shook his hand and said, you know,
no, he was
let's
like, have
fun
you know,
out
have a good
there.
Game, young man.
Right. Let's have fun out there. But
yeah,
that's how leading men, I mean, you lead men. You got to find a way to get to every one of your teammates. So that was very interesting. I love Derrick Brooks's notion of I'm going to make the Hall of Fame better. And he said, look, Derrick Brooks and Warren Sapp are two totally different people, personalities, men, but
brothers.
We were teammates and we're still brothers because that's what sports does. You know, you bring two people from totally different, you know, backgrounds, maybe philosophical views, whatever, and we can be brothers. And his affection for him and for John Lynch, you know, they made
that defense, Ray. It's funny that you're saying that. What do you think about potentially that defense, because we talk about them as one of the greatest defenses, could they potentially put in three more guys. Simeon Rice, who's got amazing stats that I didn't realize. Obviously, John Lynch is coming up soon. And Rondé Barber. I think we got they could put in five.
They could. I don't think Simeon Rice goes in. Look, if Charles Haley's not in, Simeon Rice is
right,
not
no,
in.
I mean, Haley needs to go in next year. It's ridiculous.
But it's Barber. It's ultimately Barber in
and
Lynch borderline. So
Lynch borderline?
We'll see.
Barber's the lock. Barber's the lock. I think Lynch will get in. So, look, let's talk about, okay, seven guys are up for next year. All seven will not get in. They're talking about making it that eight guys get in. And so, like, someone like a Parcells last year would have gone in as a contributor, which I think would be good. So someone, a coach or like a Dungy doesn't take away from a player. And I think they should do a contributor. They're at 287. So next year, seven more, you know, or eight more, they'll get to 294. Pretty exclusive, you know, thousands of guys play the game. So next year, you've got four guys from the greatest show on turf, Kurt Warner, Orlando Pace, and both receivers, Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce. You have Edgerrin James, Junior Seau, and Ty Law. So we know Junior Seau is a lock. It's going to be emotional. I don't know if the wife or kids will do the speech. It's going to be a tearjerker. We know that. Out of those seven, though, give me somebody else. Would you put in on the first ballot Ty Law or Kurt Warner?
No, I don't think any of them get in the first ballot except for Orlando Pace, because he absolutely dominated his position. And you could argue that those other guys, while they were very good, you never looked at one of them and said, you're the best at your position. But you could say that for Orlando Pace and Junior Seau. So to me, Junior Seau and Orlando Pace are locks, first ballot, and the rest will, I think they'll all get in, but I don't think any of them get in on the first ballot. So
okay. So you think Pace, is first? I mean, well, I guess, look, after you see Walter Jones and Ogden, Pace was a little bit below them, but he was definitely great.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah. That and we've had a rush of linemen the last few years, right? So you've got – I think Orlando Pace is going in.
Okay.
I really do.
I think Kurt Warner goes in, but not this year. You're right. He, like Strahan, I think him and Ty Law – actually, I think Ty Law is probably a top five or six. And, you know, we got to talk about that and maybe do a show about that because it's getting really crowded. Ty Law is is one of the best cornerbacks ever. I don't know if he's Charles Woodson, but he's a top five to eight, maybe ten cornerback. Ty Law was the man. Patriots have not won – the Super Bowl since Ty Law left them.
Right, and it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that greatest show on turf offense, right? So you know, Marshall Faulk was always going to be the first one in, and the
right.
question with Bruce
and
Holt, when if and when they go in and
yeah.
they go in before Warner, right? They have
no, not before Warner. I don't
right.
know
they
Bruce is a Hall of Famer.
Career.
Is Bruce a Hall of Famer to you? I might say Torrey Holt, but I don't know about Bruce.
Really? You don't think
yeah.
the Reverend is a Hall of Famer? I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
He's Tim Brown. He's not Tim Brown.
Okay, so look, let's just say this. Next year, right, let's say Seau and Pace go in. I also think next year it might be time for Tim Brown and Haley. So that would be four. I think you might see Dungy go in five. We don't know about what old guys. So, you know, that would be the two, you know, that would make seven. But I really could see Marvin Harrison maybe getting in.
Yeah,
you
think
it's time
I think
for
Marvin
him?
Harrison gets in ahead of Bruce and Holt.
Yes, yes. But do you think it's time for Tim Brown and Haley to get in? I think they're overdue.
I think Brown, Haley, and Harrison get in.
And what about Terrell Davis? He's sort of like a Mattingly. I think he was a Hall of Famer. He just got hurt.
He was
great.
He didn't play for long enough. The only thing his saving grace is he's got those two Super Bowl rings, and they were on his back. You know, from what everybody wants to be nostalgic about John Elway lost three Super Bowls before he had Terrell Davis. So Terrell Davis is right on the borderline. I don't know if he played enough, though. To be a Hall
yeah.
of Famer, but then again, the old timers
Gale Sayers.
About Gale Sayers. Yeah, Gale Sayers was the best runner they've ever seen.
Hey,
and
I
he
got something
got
to tell you about
victory.
That, right? I'm a Steeler fan, Ray, die hard, and I love Jerome Bettis, and we've talked about this. Maybe he's in the Hall of Very Good. I'd put Terrell Davis in before Jerome Bettis, and I love the bus.
Oh, see, I got to rort his longevity, though.
His longevity is great. And he got that Super Bowl. And he did carry Rams teams, and Steelers rode him hard, too. So, no, I would put Buss in. I just think he's not getting in next year. He's going to have to wait. Next year is going to be pretty crowded. It's going to be a jam. It's going to be great. And it's one of the most, I don't know, for some reason, I think baseball has been tainted to me with all the steroids. I think the NFL is the most fascinating Hall of Fame. I look forward to it the most. And I think it might be easier to get in a way, but it's also harder to get in, if that makes sense. I think I love, in terms of such a game where you have to have so many years and you'd be productive and it's harder. But I do think things will change with the wide receiver stats. I don't think after Moss and Owens get in, I don't think guys are just going to get in because they have numbers with this new era. Because with the rules changing, I think quarterbacks could throw for 6,000 yards in the next two seasons. Like, the new rules, you can't, put your hands on a guy, and they're changing all this stuff. So it's about to get even easier this upcoming NFL season.
Yeah,
so
wide receiver dominance is going to be hard, because if you breathe in their general direction, that's a 15-yard penalty. So
are Moss and
Owens
first ballot?
To me, they are, sure. Both
but
of them.
The media might not, though, right?
The media might penalize one or both, but they're both first ballot Hall of Famers.
Oh,
they were both dominant. They were both the best receiver or the top two or three receivers in their era. Absolutely. They are the epitome of dominance. You can say whatever you want about them in practice and on the field and off the field, but between the lines, when the game was on, you had to know where they were at all times.
Times you can't like they say, you cannot tell the NFL story without T.O. and Moss. They're and that's what I'm saying. I think they would leapfrog a Holt and a Bruce, and I hope Tim Brown can get in, because Brown and Harrison, I think Bruce and Holt are going to have to wait, and if Brown doesn't get in the next year or two, he's going to have to wait behind he'll have to wait behind Owens and then Moss. So
that's a good point.
NFL, we could talk about the NFL and the Hall of Fame every day, all day. It's great. Hey, Manziel got to play with the number ones today in training camp. They said he didn't look too bad.
I like Brian Hoyer, but 4, 5, 6 games in, Johnny Manziel starting
in Cleveland. They play 4 games. They have the bye week, and then Manziel comes in. I think your guy in Jacksonville, unless Chad Henne gets hurt, I think Blake Bortles sits out the season. And Teddy B, I would probably start Castle and let Teddy B come in week 3, 4, 5. Let him ease in. I think it's just smarter. But who knows?
Yeah, I'm not sure at this point in his career that Teddy Bridgewater is better than Matt Castle. So maybe after a year of sitting on the bench. So I'm not rushing. The only thing is, you really have to make a decision quick, fast, and in a hurry, because Adrian Peterson is really at the top of his game, and it's only going to go downhill. And you know how running backs hit the wall hard. So you need to put the best quarterback in front of Adrian Peterson as soon as possible.
Yeah, no, you definitely do. And especially with your boy Cordell Patterson and Rudolph, like they've got a team, and Greg Jennings is not, it's this year or next year for Jennings before he drops off. So, yeah, you either want to get Bridgewater, put him in quickly to get him ready and to compete. It's going to be hard. And we'll be talking more football, but that's a tough conference. Huge conference, but tough division too. I mean, the Bears' offense and their defense should be improved, the Packers, and who knows with the Lions. So it's going to be hard treading from Minnesota with Castle or Bridgewater. So, look, like I said, Giants, one thing I will say about this, about the Hall of Fame game and the Giants learning the new offense, Eli will drive you crazy, a sack fumble. But the one shining moment, I like Andre Williams, Ray. He looked good. The running back from BC.
Yes, he did. He might be a fantasy sleeper.
Yes, he might. And I got to tell you, my prediction, EJ Manuel, this is his last year as the Bills quarterback. I don't think it's going to work for that guy. I just don't see it. And
wow,
I can see
you're writing them off already.
I just, it's, I don't know if it's there. I just don't, you know, he doesn't, Jameis is much better than him, Winston. And I just think, pretty soon we'll have to preview college football. It's, you know, coming up. But I just don't think E.J. Manuel, I don't see it. You know, he's got the physical tools. I don't know if it's the mental, I don't know. We'll see. Hey, I wish him the best.
Of course.
I wish him the best. They might miss Stevie Johnson. I to be honest with you, I would have kept Stevie Johnson with Sammy Watkins and Mike Williams. I didn't understand that. Like, why replace one? You know what I mean? And then you had Robert Woods. That would have been a great four. Like, make your wide receiver depth that much better. Stevie's a good receiver.
That's
I know
true.
He was a clown in Buffalo sometimes. But
well, that's the problem. I think the off-the-field stuff, they had enough of him.
Yeah.
Anyway, great show.
We had a
good talk about Hall of Fame. We'll be back on Friday. We might even bring you another segment by popular demand.
Oh, yeah. And look out for the USA basketball. They'll be playing and announce their team and training camp. Oh, Hard Knocks, Ray. Tuesday night, Hard Knocks Falcons. Should be fun. Fascinating stuff. Looking forward to it. And, you know, NFL training camp. Thanks for listening. And talking sports with friends. Hey,
we're out.